let's move on to everybody's next scene. I have a vignette left. I think Skeen has a vignette. Jade, you can go either or, depending on how you like. And Verse, you have a scene.
So Skeen, I want to have just a bit at the actual school. And, you know, when moving between classes, it's one of those things where, you know, that sort of classic high school movie thing of this is the captain of the football team. So everyone, like, waves and is very friendly towards him. And he's always got, you know, those big fake friendly smiles for everybody and waving. And then some freshman doesn't get out of the way in time and bumps into him. And the freshman falls down.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a moment where Skeen looks to the part where this person bumped into him. And there is the smallest amount of, like, food schmutz on his jacket. And he looks down, but he sees everyone looking around. And so he puts a hand down, like, to help this person back up, but then leans in and it pulls in tight on both of them. And he just whispers in this person's ear, "You are a mote of dirt. And if dirt gets on me, it will be cleaned away." And flicks the little bit on his jacket. "See that this doesn't happen again." And then pulls back and it goes back to the wide shot of everyone. "So sorry, of course. Let me help you up. And on your way." And then waves to, you know, the crowd around him. "Always willing to help out those in need. Good day." And then just keeps walking as, like, the person behind him is just absolute blood drained from their face watching him walk away.
Yeah, there's a crowd of, like, fawning admirers that are gathered around, you know, whispering about, like, the grace and generosity of Skeen. And I think, like, even some of them who turn, like, dirty looks at this person who could thoughtlessly walk into Skeen as,
oh yeah,
as moving through the halls. Unthinkable social sin there. And yeah, that I think, like, it ends with a shot of Skeen's face. I want to know emotionally, how does Skeen feel about having to do something like that? Like, make threats while also putting on a display? Like, is this something they regret, something they revel in? Or, like, are you, like, genuinely angry and wish you could be more unhinged?
Oh, totally wishes he could have gone off on this person. It's the kind of thing where, like, smiles back and waves, and then he rounds a corner where people aren't looking at him, and his face just drops into this angry grimace, and he looks back at the spot where there's not even anything there anymore, but to him, he can still see it, and he just rubs at it.
Oh, yeah, a little bit Lady Macbeth. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
That's Skeen, baby. All right. Who is up next?
If we're at the school, I feel like this might be an opportunity to, like, have a tiny scene with Barry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think maybe there's, is this before, is this, like, later in the day, or is it before, or
so this is just all okay. That this needs to be, this can even be days later. This is sometime before the match.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I think there is. We are leaving school. We are kind of, like, everybody's, like, making their way, either walking home or head to the monorail. And I think Jade and Maxwell are just, like, gabbing together as they're walking. And there's, like, a,
"Jade! Jade! Jade!"
And
who would like to play Barry?
So basically the only thing is Barry's in love with Jade. And
great.
Jade.
You know, I'll step in as Barry. "Hey, Jade! Jade! Hey!"
Maxwell, do not leave me alone Do not leave my side.
Sorry,
okay.
Sorry. Okay. The sun do is not, in my eyes. I'm sneezing.
Barry!
Oh
my God,
goodness.
Barry!
I would not like to get you sick. It's before your tournament.
Of course, Maxwell. You care so deeply about the team.
Hey, Jade. You probably couldn't hear me there because the wind was blowing against my voice.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah. The wind was, this slight breeze was overpowering your voice. Barry, you look smaller. Have you lost muscle?
No.
Oh.
But, you know what I've gained? Some competitive spirit, because it looks like you're going up against the Crimson Trace this weekend.
Oh,
that's my team.
You're jousting. That's right. How long have you been jousting?
As long as we've known each other. We met through jousting.
How long have we known each other?
I want to say 3 years, which is a long time for our short lives.
Wow.
That's
wow.
Poetic. I'm into poetry now.
Yes. I remember going through my language arts class and our segment on poetry and how transformative it was for me, truly. I gotta say, you know, best of luck to you up there in the sky. Can't say that I'll be going easy on you. My team really does.
No worries. I won't need it.
Okay, well, this has been an absolutely riveting conversation, and I cannot wait to touch base with you about it later down the line, but...
Hey, speaking of touching your bases...
Please, absolutely not.
I was wondering, you know, before or after the match, if you wouldn't want to...
Jade is starting
to
move backwards. Wow, this wind is so windy. I am being blown away. Absolutely. Maxwell, grab me. Carry me.
I would like to introduce Trouble.
Yes, please.
I want Barry to invite Jade to a place where Jade knows there is an actual important fashion designer there.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be, I know that you're into fabrics or whatever, and sort of patterns and stitches and all that, the poetry
of
the clothing, if you will. There's a new malt shop concept line being done by Salieri. The Salieri of fabric.
I'm sorry. Sorry, the wind was in my face. Say that again.
Well, you know, the designer, I guess they're called
Salieri.
Yeah, he
Salieri
went crazy. He killed that other designer. Yeah, he's out of jail.
I'm sorry. The famed, revered, and feared designer Salieri Guttermont.
Yeah.
Salieri Guttermont.
Well, I mean, it, only in so much as that we've purchased his debt to society, and he's kind of working for my family now.
Everyone is so rich. And so I think with that, like, the speed and grace that Jade closes the distance that was between her and Barry is... It barely clocks on a stopwatch, but she is now like right up against right up next to Barry, like one arm tucked underneath like her elbow, and like now she's like resting her chin on her own like on her knuckles, and like, please, you have to tell me more about you, Barry. Barry, how?
Yeah, well, I guess basically I like it when the bird goes fast. That's pretty good.
Oh my God, that it is! I love it. I love it when the bird goes fast. It and when the talking about wind, but the wind in my hair when that bird is going fast, I am on cloud nine. Now, Barry, I need to say this, and I probably shouldn't be saying this right before a match, but you've been on my mind, Barry, and I think I need to tell you that I've been thinking about you. I've been thinking about us.
Get out of town.
I have.
No way. I've been thinking about you too.
Oh my God.
Believe it or not, that's why I asked you to come to this malt shop / fashion concept opening.
I love malt. I love the powder. I love what it does to taste. And I love the various ways in which that it can elevate a social situation. I am in.
Yeah. Believe it or not, not too wild about malt or flavor or taste. I just like the sort of implied romantic sexual context that it adds to a situation of two people getting together. This is great.
We see Jay do a hard swallow. You special boy. You need to tell me. Barry, here's the thing. I need to know two pieces of information from you right now.
Sure.
When and where?
He pulls out. Some sort of like written instructions that he's written to himself of like when and where this is going to happen. And I'm going to say that this is probably after the match itself.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be dangling over you for the remainder of like your preparation and into like after this quarterfinal match.
And then I think Jade very like playfully just like, you know, taps him on the shoulder and is like, I'm still invited if I win, aren't I?
I mean, sure, if you think you can win, yeah.
Okay. Well, I will see you in the skies.
Yeah, I'll see you in the skies and the mutual thoughts that we have about each other.
Jade is already gone.
Jade-shaped vacuum hole in the air.
Yes.
And scene. Good. Yeah. I will add another fight to Jade there. And that leaves a scene for verse and a vignette.
Holy,
for...
wait a second. What was the name of the Salieri Gutremont?
Salieri.
Sally.
I think I called him the Salieri of fabrics. He made him just make a suit that was so emotionally devastating that he just passed away.
Tragic. Beautiful.
But he'll never be as good as the blind designer Mozart.
No.
Yeah.
Watch Amadeus, everybody. It's a good one. Yeah,
it's a
good one.
Play. Great film.
All right. So I believe vignette from Skeen and scene from Verse. What do we got?
Okay, so Verse is presently out on the docks. I'm assuming that they are basically just sort of piers that extend into the sky since people don't really land the boats in the water.
Yeah. They'd be okay. Like, you know, big towers that people could like nestle the boats into that would make it easy to load and unload any cargo from them.
Perfect. So he's going to be on one of those docks in a huge pile of shipping barrels and crates that has sort of sat unnoticed for quite some time. Also, it should be noted at this time that it is currently school. He's skipping school, and he's not alone in doing so. Inside of this mass of barrels and crates, there is a sort of impromptu meeting area that is currently filled with a number of students that have cut class. All of them fabulously wealthy,
mm-hmm.
delinquents of the highest order. And he is standing in front of them, presenting his wares. Effectively, when he's not busy winning tournaments, he's the local dealer.
Mm-hmm.
One person who is not normally here, but is now, is Constant Sorrow.
Okay, yeah.
They've met on a number of occasions before. And he has already become her dealer in addition to just the dealer on the island. So as soon as she landed here, she came to seek him out.
So I feel like the atmosphere that you've set up feels like very kind. It's classy, but it's also like cobbled together like kids mm-hmm. classy, you know? you've managed to light this crate in this area of the port that's just never cleared out. There is a cobbled together vibe, but it is still like a speakeasy. You know, there are these wealthy mm-hmm. kids like sitting back and smoking and drinking and participating in whatever underaged vices that kids can get into. And then
whatever they bring with them, plus whatever I drink or mix.
Exactly. And the door mm-hmm. opens and there is a silhouette of a young woman who is dressed in a trench coat. She like comes in, takes off a hat, like revealing this beautiful head full of lush red hair. And she goes in, she's wearing like whatever uniform there is for the school, but it is modified in some way that is like technically against the rules, but like it rides such a line that it's kind of a headache for everybody to enforce.
I bet there's a lot of that here, yeah.
She sits at the end of the bar and she has like, yeah, I think she'll just like wave you over. What have you got for me today?
Constance! Constance, everybody! Of the Crimson Trace, the code applies. No hard feelings about the savage beating tomorrow, of course.
I didn't realize that I was walking into the bar of the town crier. I thought I was walking into the bar of the competition.
The town crier addresses the crowd. These are just friends.
Of course. Your friends, who all voluntarily spend their time around you, not because you're the only person who can get them the hair of the dog that's going to bite them.
In the fullness of time, what's the difference? Raise your hand if you love me, everybody.
Well, why don't you bite me and we'll find out.
The usual?
I'm feeling like this is a special occasion. It's not often that I speak to somebody who is about to be looking at me from his back 20 yards on the ground.
I imagine most people looking at you from their back are much closer.
Only as close as I let them be.
Well then, for you, a sunset, he says as he whips a flask from his belt, pours it into a convenient highball, and slides it across the surprisingly rough surface of a series of plants to
her. A quarter of it makes it to her.
What does this drink look like?
Even as it's poured out from a flask, it rapidly assembles itself into a layered cocktail.
Whoa, cool.
Moving directly from orange to pink to a near crimson near the top.
And what'll this do? Make all my troubles go away?
I thought that was the usual. This'll just taste good.
The usual seems like it keeps all my troubles close at hand.
Yeah, for her usual for me has been forget-me-shots, mm-hmm. jacked up just a little bit to let her forget a couple of days.
Yeah. It makes it easier to lie about where she's been.
Yeah, but it always comes back. This'll just taste delightful. Give you a warm, tingly feeling. If you want anything more dramatic, we can talk.
I probably shouldn't be imbibing that way so close to the tournament. Though, I've got an arrangement that I feel like you might be interested in.
Fascinating. I was here to deal as well.
Oh, were you? Well,
please, do go on.
My mind is very simple. I know that your team is on a bit of a hot streak right now. It seems like mm-hmm. nothing can stand in your way, and I'll admit, well, I like being on the Crimson Trace. We're not on a hot streak. We're very lucky to be in the quarterfinals at all. All of the smart money is against us and on you. As she says this, she like puts a finger on your chest and plays with like your lapel a little bit.
He freezes up a little bit at that.
You're a tactician. You're smart. You've probably already worked out how to outmaneuver everybody on my team, and Jade and Skeen are going to be able to fly circles around my boys no matter how fast they go. What I'm proposing is a strategic dive. A strategic dive that benefits everyone. You're going to win each round of the competition anyway. But if you were to lose to me, somebody who bets the right way could make a small fortune and your team still advances in the tournament.
Hmm. Puzzling suggestion. I was just going to ask if you knew who got disqualified from the frogs.
Oh, well, I happen to know that as well.
I suppose that may sweeten the pot, then. Obviously, I can dive my team at any time if I want.
I don't need you to take the whole team. Just you, sweetheart.
That's almost harder. The other two dance to my drums.
Oh.
I'm the best drummer.
But you know how to lose, don't you? All you have to do is put your lips together and choke.
Incredible.
David, I knew that was coming and it still so got good.
So good.
Let's make the offer concrete.
How so?
I'd like to see a figure written on this napkin. I'd also like the information regarding the frogs.
Well, now, a girl knows better than to tell before kissing.
I have yet to meet a girl that meets those criteria.
That sort of thing can be arranged. All you have to do is just take a little peck. That'll bind our agreement, and I'll know that when the time comes, you'll do what you have to do, and everybody makes...
And she'll, like, scrawl something very quick on a piece of paper.
Everybody makes a handsome reward.
Well, a girl may know when to reveal her secrets and when to kiss. But a tactician knows to keep the plan on his side of the bar. Please, another drink?
Whatever it takes to earn your trust.
Mm. You already have it implicitly, of course.
Then you're not as smart as I took you for.
He slides another drink across to her.
She gladly accepts. What's this one do?
And it's a forget-me shot and completely forgets the entire conversation. Great. Let's take great. It over, guys.
No, I don't think...
We're stuck in a loop.
Hang on one moment.
Somebody getting absolutely trashed on forget-me shots where they're just like drunker and drunker and they don't remember how they became that drunk.
That one will just put a little lift in your step.
She takes another sip. Well then, if those odds suit your purpose, pucker up.
Sky Joust. Sky Joust.
She takes another sip. Well then, if those odds suit your purpose, pucker up.
I prefer a firm handshake.
Suit yourself.
And he sticks his hand out.
She sticks hers out as well, and you feel something like form between your palms. And I'll say it is a bottle cap.
Oh, okay.
That's like a like brassy sort of looking bottle cap. And that is an Okus. So this is a physical form that binds you to the agreement made between you. She will give you this information. In exchange, you will be forced to take a dive during your thing against her, or you can break that agreement, but like there'll be longer lasting consequences.
That's what I needed to hear. I've been lying the whole time.
Yeah. And so like the Okus is a way to like force you into this position to make it uncomfortable should you decide to violate this agreement. In return, like the odds against her winning her match against you are pretty like stacked in your favor. So if you did lose and a bet was placed against you, that person would make quite a bit of money. So there are those factors. She leans in after the handshake and goes, "It seems that the golden child who's been ignored by everyone else, it seems Dimitri miscalculated. You know that boy is like so clever with his little yo-yos and how he moves them around so precise, working with those magical implements. Apparently, he was pushed a bridge too far, and it caused an explosion on the field. Everyone was shocked that that could be coming from the youngest member of that team, but I suppose he had something to prove. Right now, there's a big question of whether or not the team's going to retain him. If he does show up, there's going to be a lot of things to overcome in the match. But that's not the only
surprising
thing. Anyone could get that information, but for you, I wanted to give you something real. And that is, Dimitri, in doing this, has upset the Honoré family. He's a cousin. We all know that Serafina is the real head of the Honorés in that age bracket. She's given up the captaincy and handed it over to Trance, which means the matriarch of the Honoré line is furious with everyone. She doesn't like the athlete who made a mistake and caused a bunch of pain and shame and legal trouble. She doesn't like her own daughter who walked away from a position of leadership and handed it off to some cousin who trains with the liquid swords. Which means whomever they face, either the Crimson Trace or the Jolly Ganders in the next round, why, there it would be very easy to turn the Honoré's ire against her own team.
My goodness, this was worth the cost of admission. How's the drink?
It's nice. A bit too sweet for me, but nice.
It'll settle. And so will you, he says, turning to walk away down the bar as she realizes that she's floating 6 or 7 inches off the ground.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. And I think that's scene. So we are left with the last vignette that I have to introduce. And that is, I gathered from the introduction of your new coach that you were going to try and poison your coach to take them out of the match.
Poison? Who could ever be so cruel?
Right.
I'm just going to give him so many wonderful new concoctions that he'll be too busy enjoying them, slowly zazzling, to really do any major coaching.
So what this is a montage. And this is a montage of you slipping different drinks with various effects to, I got to remember the name because it's not...
Phileas.
It's not Phineas. Thank you. Phileas. This is trying to slip Phileas various drinks that have various effects. So what I want is from each of you, tell me what drink is being given to Phileas, what effect it is supposed to have, and the manner that it is supposed to get to him. And then from Allie and Drew, I want to know how it comes to pass that Phileas does not drink it and someone else has it instead to comedic effect.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So lay it on me. What are you giving him? How are you giving it to him?
Oh, man. All right. Well, I think I'll start by attempting to slip him a jungle bird, a wonderful tropical concoction that leaves people feeling as if they're simply lost where they are, wandering, as it were, through a series of metaphorical trees, trying to find their way out, but so pleased by the drink and by where they are that they become distracted and manageable for a while.
Mm. Okay. And how is it being slipped to him? How is it disguised?
Oh, this will be the first one, so it won't even be a disguise. We aren't annoyed with him constantly evading drinks yet.
Right.
This will be when I introduce myself to him for the first time.
Okay.
Present myself with a outstretched arm. Obviously, he's far taller than I am. Mm-hmm. And then I will point dramatically to my belt loops that are rife with all kinds of interesting flasks. And as I do so, whip a pair of highballs into my hands as if from nowhere and pour him a drink and offer it to him. And then something happens.
Yeah.
This one's very forthright.
I imagine that Phileas takes it. You say it's tropical.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a whiff of it and goes, oh, that's fruity. What do you think? Eustace, is that a bit fruity?
Yes, definitely fruity, sir.
Do you know who loves fruit, Eustace?
Oh, I hesitate to answer, sir.
Persephone, the goldfish. And he goes over to Persephone, who is a beautiful, like, koi goldfish in this tank. And goes, Persephone, Persephone. And, like,
what?
dips it in and, like, pours it in there for this fish who gobbles it up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm imagining, like, orange-green cloud, like, spills into the water of this, like, very clear and beautiful tank. And you see this fish, like, swim over and just gulp it up.
She does this all the time.
Turns in absolute disgust, walks away muttering to the ground. Mango doesn't even grow on my continent, let alone in this dimension.
And the fish is like now swimming, bonking into the side of the tank. Just
doing
like
barrel rolls. Like,
Toodaloo, thank you for coming. What a nice young man.
Very pleasant, sir.
Put him down for a red out of blue.
Oh, a what, sir?
I'm trying out a scoring system.
A scoring system, sir?
Yay.
Right.
Put him down for red and blue.
Got it, sir.
Excellent.
Eustace writes red, blue, question mark? Drinks, boy, question mark?
But as he walks away, muttering and shaking his head in disgust, he also slips another flask into the hand of Skeen. And disappears.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Skeen.
Skeen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Skeen shows up and heads over to Phileas. It's just, oh, well, it certainly is warm. And you know what they say, when it gets too warm, you can get dehydrated. And that does do a number on your skin. And we can't have that, can we?
Oh, no, I don't believe
that's why
can.
I've got some refreshment.
Oh, excellent, Skeen. What is it?
Oh, it's, just a bit of rose water.
Oh, excellent.
Should freshen you right up. Keeps everything nice and tight, now, as we like.
Eustace, where is my rose water glass? The rose water glass, by the way.
Do you know, sir, you told me not to pack it.
I beg your pardon.
Yes, sir. Do you remember, sir? It came down to the rose water glass or the advantageous highball, and there wasn't enough room for both in the luggage this time, sir?
Very well, then. Skeen, do you have it with you?
Of course.
Where is it?
Right here. And just turns around and, like, big wide eyes and hands open, like, give me something. It's just like motioning towards Jade and Verse.
I don't glass.
And he's making like the drinking hand signal. Glass, anything.
rather excitable, young you saw that.
Jade looks down, sees like a water pouch, takes it, opens it up, pours it out, and then just like tosses it at Skeen.
Yes, of course. My own mother, dear Marjorie, gave me a rose water vessel that is all the rage now, of course, and pours the drink in there. Bottoms up.
Sir, Eustace slides in as though on roller skates. Sir, this is a peony glass.
And we see Eustace hold it up to the light.
Like it's about to reach his lips.
Yeah.
Holds it up to the light.
Eustace, I can assure you it isn't.
No. And he like, come, young Skeen. And he like pulls Skeen in really close to like look at it. You see, Skeen, a rosewater glass has a vertical tint in it. This has a horizontal tint. It is indeed a peony glass.
Quite right, sir.
And he pours it into Persephone's tank.
This fish.
What happens to this fish? What was this drink meant to do?
This was more of the bubble water was trying to make it so that he wouldn't be able to say any commands or anything
because
he would be
bubbles.
Spouting
well,
bubbles.
Let's go to practice then.
Of course. And just walks off at a clip.
I'm going to try an A to Z ranking system today.
Right away, sir.
Jade, please, Jade, and walks off towards the birds.
Jade, sees Skeen like go by and is like, ugh, boys. And so, just like walks up to, Phileas, coach.
Yes, Jade.
Coach. It's been such an amazing week having you here guiding us with your limitless knowledge about what it means to be a rider in the skies and a professional on the ground. Thank you.
Are you making sure to butter your palms?
Yes, my palms are buttered. My
hand check, Jade. Let me smell them.
please remind. And Jade holds up their palms to be inspected. Please remind me again. What does this do?
It's all about presentation, Jade.
Presentation, of course. Presentation is in the same vein as a bit of superstition, which we...
You want your opponent to feel like they're fighting a breakfast.
Yes. which you're a little new here, but we have a bit of a superstition before we go into our matches, where we share a drink with our staff, with our companions, with our coaches, arm in arm, looking at each other directly in the eyes to ensure good luck and a plentiful win. Can I trust you to have a drink with me? And we see Jade somehow pull two already poured shot glasses from behind them. One is for Jade and one is for Phileas. Jade is trying to give Phileas a concoction from Verse called he calls it Foggy Days, and it's essentially you drink it and then over the course of between 25 and 35 minutes, your vision goes completely white. You completely white out for anywhere between 1 and 2 days. And so she hands him a drink and sort of offers up her arm to link up with Phileas and to the Jolly Ganders.
Oh, excellent.
To the Jolly Ganders.
I am not.
Look in the eyes. Look in the eyes.
I am. Right now, here we go. I'm looking in the eyes.
Right in the eyes. Look, right in the eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm looking. I'm confused on the arm placement.
Well, we link up arms because we link up our skills and our spirits. So look at me in the eyes. Here we go.
I am. I am looking you in the eyes.
Okay.
Right. You see, I understand the linking. But it goes into
so
your
mouth.
So at
this moment, I think that Eustace has a couple staff members that we have brought in with us, in the Youngblood colors, but muted, of course, that we've sort of filtered out to different parts of the jousting club and the arena staff. And Eustace is bringing a bunch of them through, carrying a bunch of things for Phileas, and sees this moment about to happen and wells up with tears and runs over. And as the rest of the staff is moving by, and clasps each of them on the shoulder and goes, "Oh, sir, you're having a nice time with them. You see, I told you it would be fine.
We're bonding.
You're bonding, sir. You're doing such a..." There's a huge sneeze from Eustace. And both cups, because Eustace has their hands on each of their shoulders, Jade and Phileas, there's a little aftershock shove from the sneeze.
Oh, my.
And both cups go flying and splash onto the nearest staff member.
Out.
Oh,
Eustace!
Wow, that went entirely in my mouth.
So sorry.
Eustace!
It's the poet, sir.
How? Eustace?
Yes, sir.
You will clean this room immediately.
Right away, sir. I'm so sorry, sir.
Terribly sorry. Here, let us... And he goes over and just pours... He pours something else from his own stock.
While Phileas is doing that, Jade leans over to the staff member. What's your name?
My name is Jonathan Forthright.
Jonathan, you're going to want to take a sick day. yes, please, of course.
Whoa.
All right, so, right. So we link arms.
Yes, and... we link arms, looking me in the eyes. And
yeah, I'm looking you in the eyes. I'm looking you in the eyes.
To the Jolly Ganders.
To the Jolly Ganders.
And our continued string of luck.
Indeed. I'm so glad about it. Let us to the pitch then, Jade. I have an A to Z ranking system today.
What became, I simply must ask, what became of the coloring system that you used before?
Oh, I got bored with it.
Yes. You do that. You do that.
But you are looking puce today.
Quite puce. And with that, days pass, time passes. They are still under the direction of this coach who runs you ragged, giving you mixed feedback with confusing exercises, but you do make it to the tournament.
Rainy sidewalk lit by street light. Everybody stayed at home. But I am walking through the storm. My hands are cold, my heart is warm, and I will not spend another day. Awful story ends. And promise we'll be friends when the summer comes again.
In the universe of Star Wall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Star Wall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.